All right, you're tuned into CFCR 90.5 FM, Saskatoon's Community Radio, and you're listening to Reel to Reel. Now, we have some very special guests. This is actually pre-recording from the Dark Bridges Film Festival, and we are here with Gary King and Christina Rose, who are from New York, correct?
That's correct.
Is that originally from New York? Or?
I'm originally from Michigan, and I was born in Italy.
I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area and moved to New York about 7 years ago.
Right on, right on. All right, and you guys are here plugging Death of the Dead, which is a horror comedy. It actually appears to be quite a few genres mashed into one thing, judging by the... Well, maybe give me a lowdown on what it's about. I was going to try to do this myself, but wow, this is a lot of stuff.
All right, so it's an action comedy zombie film, and it's a cross between, I would say, Night of the Living Dead meets The Karate Kid is the most simplest way to say it. But it is a mashup of, if you think of Scary Movie and Airplane and that type of tongue-in-cheek humor, but with a heart, I would say, at that point. So it's got everything for everybody in terms, if you go in looking for fun, looking for silly, campy fun, people will definitely enjoy it.
All right, actually, specifically one genre you didn't reference that I noticed is brought up in the description a little bit is karate comes up a few, well, I guess you referenced Karate Kid. How much of a kung fu flick is this? Is it got, how much of that?
It's pretty kung fu-y. Yeah, Christina Rose did a lot of all of her own fight scenes, all the choreography. We had two karate schools in the city as the zombie extras playing them, so there's some fights going on. But in terms of actually real deal fighting, knock them down, it's probably like the third act is where actually the fighting happens.
And there's a lot of stunt work. I definitely did some stunt training and some martial arts, and I did some weapon training with the bo staff and nunchaku. So there's a lot of action in the second half of the film.
So was there a lot of prep time in terms of getting ready, or were you?
I had done martial arts when I was younger, and I'm a dancer, so. With the flexibility that was luckily something that I brought to it. However, when I got to Ohio to film, I had 2 days, one day of weapon training and martial arts, and the second day was just acting rehearsal. So really 2 days of rehearsal before we started going into the filming.
Right on. All right, I'm really curious as to how we haven't had a chance to see the picture yet. We're seeing it later tonight. But just judging on the based on you know what we've been given in terms of plot and everything like that, were you looking to go fairly like broad in terms of what you were going to draw for an audience, like by doing all these different kinds of like doing this genre mashup? Because it's a very genre centric film by the looks of things. Were you kind of aiming for like a particular audience, or were you hoping to kind of hit a bunch of different audiences equally, or what was the plan?
I think when the producers brought me on board, they and I came up with a plan. We wanted to go for a high class trauma, basically. You know, I was
going to segue into trauma, actually. Yeah, that's I'm glad you mentioned that.
The wine drinker of trauma. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's what we're going for. I mean, we went tongue in cheek. We wanted to be campy, but there is a story, and there's actually a centered relationship between the main character Wanda, who is a high school nerd, and her master, Sensei. So both of them actually anchor the film in terms of their relationship, just like Mr. Miyagi and Danielson or whatever. But there's that relationship that actually carries throughout the film, and then all the campy zaniness goes around that. But I actually, as a director, my other films, because I was hired to do this one, but I write and direct more art house type dramas. So they brought me on board to kind of keep it grounded in terms of the actual relationship so it doesn't get too far out where you don't care about anybody. We want you to care about
the characters.
We want you to care about everybody still.
Another thing appears just based on what I have seen so far, it looks like it had the potential to be, let's say, chaotic to rein all of this in, to shoot. Was it pretty under control, or was it the kind of thing that you were... a lot of unsuspected things popping up that you had to get past to get it shot. It looks like a very frantic film.
Put it that way.
We had 2 weeks to shoot the whole feature, which just didn't seem like enough time, but I feel like everything was run so well on set, and we got done with our shoot days early, a couple hours sometimes. I also feel like there were things that we wanted to put in the film that we just didn't have time to do, certain bits, and so in a way it felt rushed, but in a way it felt so organized. We were like a well-oiled machine, the creative team, so I was happy with that.
Yeah. There's, we would call it organized chaos, so definitely... We had 12 shooting days to shoot this 80-page plus script or so, and I had an amazing DP, Aaron Moorhead, and he and I were on the same page a lot of the time, so actually with the shot list, on a 12-hour scheduled day, we'd be done in 9 or 10 hours for those scenes. Like, obviously, the other days that we kind of wanted to be able to do a little bit more in terms of gags, but those gags would have taken more time over the 12 hours allotted than what we could have done. But there's a lot of gags I wish we could have gotten to.
I think we definitely wanted more time for the fight scenes. I'm really happy with what we got for them, but if we would have had just another week, we could have just done fight scenes and just shot more of that. But
we could have done a full day of just one. Like, we shot the entire last battle fight scene in one day. There were 70 setups in 12 hours, and we're fighting the daylight. The thing is, we could have shot, there's like about four or five fights within that.
Yeah.
We could have shot just one fight for the full day if we really had the time.
If we had the time, we would have done more with it. But we are happy with how it turned out, considering the length of time we had.
Is there any intention on doing some more work together after this one? Or is there anything in the works at all?
Actually, we have a film coming out in 2011 called How Do You Write a Joe Sherman Song, which Gary can tell you, but we decided to work together after working together on Death of the Dead. He had already had How Do You Write a Joe Sherman Song in the works, and there was a role in there that he wanted me to play. So that's our next one that's coming out in 2011. And then we have a project that we're wanting to shoot in 2011 as well, which Gary can...
is this one that you... is that one that you wrote?
How Do You Write a Joe Sherman Song is a feature film musical, and we're really excited about 10 original songs that are, to me, amazing, and there's dancing and singing, but I tell people it's kind of a cross between Once and All That Jazz, so something that takes place at Broadway, but very realistically, most of the songs take place in the real world, in real time. They don't break out into song and dance from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that. But next year also we're working on developing a psychological thriller, very serious. We want to scare the shit out of people this time.
Yeah.
We really want to disturb them. So that's what we're going for the next one.
Is it kind of refreshing to shift gears like that for both of you to be able to do, to go from, project to project and really work on something really new? Maybe something really new, but something so different from what's going on in Death of the Dead, obviously.
Yeah, definitely not being like bookended in a particular genre or labeled a horror director or a art house director and that.
I really enjoy being able to shift genres. That's some of my favorite filmmakers are Howard Hawks, Steven Soderbergh, Billy Wilder, and more recently I was even Danny Boyle. The guys that you don't pigeonhole as, like you said, I'm just blanking out on like a Wes Craven or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they just do horror. And when they try to step out of the box, people kind of just like put their fingers up or their hands up and say, no, I don't like that. And sometimes they fail. Even they try to go outside the genre and they're not as good. So,
well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned Steven Soderbergh, because it's even like for him, it is the difference between being a like very populist popcorn filmmaker and being an art house filmmaker, and not just a genre shift, but in it like a focus and audience
complete
shift.
He's able to straddle the line, so even if he does make it mainstream, it almost is a little art house ish sometimes, but then he definitely does make personal films where he does not care who the audience is. It's almost for himself. And those are like, I love The Girlfriend Experience. I love that one. And that was my favorite film of that year, and that was just something where, to me, as a filmmaker, to be able to do that and make a living at it, that's a dream. That's amazing. He's awesome.
And as an actress, I love the challenge of switching up the genres and having the chance to do, a horror zombie comedy and do the stunt work and then do something like a psychological thriller and then a musical. I get to, sing, dance, and act. And so it's just an amazing opportunity for an actress to be able to do all the different genres.
Is there something you haven't gotten to do just yet that you're really, really hungry to get done? Or
I'm really looking forward to doing a romantic comedy.
With Jude Law, right?
With Jude Law, yeah. Or Brad Pitt.